conversation, maybe out of your comfort zone, around some of the other issues pending nationally?
It's a big question. I think, like with so many of these big questions, the solution is to start small, right? Mm-hmm. And is to start with, you know, having that conversation with a friend or a neighbor or just any other sort of one person or a small group of people, or, you know, doing what you've done, Charlotte, and putting together a radio show where you get to talk to me, to artists, to authors, to all sorts of people, activists, about these issues, about issues that affect you, but also affect lots of other people, if it, issues that don't affect you directly, but do affect you by virtue of the fact that you live in a community full of all sorts of different people, and their lives impact your lives, and something that makes their life harder can also make your life harder by association. So, and vice versa, you know, something that makes life better for you can also make life better for everyone else, right? Yes. I had a couple of really good conversations with doctors Melanie Gross and Travers, who are from SFU. Melanie Gross is a visiting scholar in the Department of Gender, Sexuality, and Women's Studies, and Travers is a professor of sociology, both at SFU. And I spoke to them in the context of an event that happened on Wednesday afternoon, where they were discussing the challenges facing queer youth. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Dr. Travers was really, really strident about, was really focused on, was this idea that, you know, making things better for all kids will also make things better for trans kids, mm-hmm. or queer kids, right? And that it's okay to try to bring the bottom up for everyone. And maybe it's beyond it's okay, like maybe that is the best strategy, is just to try to raise the bar for everyone. And something that helps the most vulnerable people, by extension, also helps all people, because you don't always know who the vulnerable people are, right? And they might not always be who you expect, or that, you know, maybe not vulnerable people in some cases, but just people who need help, who need an extra leg up, who need just that something. And so, again, I think by just starting at a really grassroots level of trying to help people sort of laterally and connect with people laterally, that can be a really good way to sort of start to build that groundswell of a movement.
And of course, I would note that one of the ways of connecting with people is through the radio. CJSF.ca. CJSF is part of the college community radio system. Nobody pays anything to be on the show. None of the hosts are paid. We are contributing to democracy through opening a number of ways for you here. So through our station, throughout the day, you will hear a wide cross-section of music. Now, most people always listen to the same thing, but partly from being around other hosts and being a host, I've listened and heard about issues that I hadn't thought about, you know, the pay scale, the what's happened to so many people who were singers or poets or performers at nightclubs or bars, that there are hardly any left in Vancouver because the structures the structures don't pay as much. I mean, and so getting to know what's going on, there was another publication, Megaphone. Megaphone is what's called a street paper. Street papers, I heard about several years ago, but didn't know that there was one in Vancouver until someone showed me this beautiful publication, and I saw, oh, the poetry, there are things about what's going on in the community, there are dates and times of places. So having had a few social issues go past my belt, I was involved in the civil rights movement between the time I was 5 and 9, and taking children seriously in talking about issues of democracy is important. There is a need for more intergenerational conversations, because who stopped the schools without a permit? Who stopped the schools in several cities when speakers were coming to talk about climate change, speakers were coming to talk about reducing gun violence, ending gun violence? And so it was an opportunity for people not to just complain about, well, it messed up their traffic to work for the day, but to really see what more strength there is when you can combine children, young people, believe that everybody has something to bring to the table, and inviting them when there are meetings at churches, meetings at schools, meetings, just having an eye out for what is actually on walls of buildings. My kids told me, nobody makes posters anymore. I read about 50 posters walking down Commercial, going from one area to the other. So I just really, one of the things that I hope happens is that there are more intergenerational conversations, as, you know, before we get to the end of the month, and that there will be people who are in office aware that their eyes upon them. The eyes are not just on older people, the eyes of people who are near the age to vote, and the eyes of people who believe in democracy and are excited by seeing a lively encouragement, a lively urging initiation to democracy. Taking children to the polling place, children can't go in, but I've been outside a couple of polling places and seen that there was an older child with smaller children while the adults were going in to vote. So I just think that one way of helping to make a change is having intergenerational conversations and inviting kids to let you know what they think before you go to vote. And they ask you, what are you voting about? Don't say, oh,
that's grown-up stuff.
Yeah, that's grown-up stuff.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really key point, and is, you know, part of that, what I was saying earlier, where democracy is something you have to do and work on. And I think, you know, with kids, modeling behavior is so important, right? You know, whether certainly having a conversation with kids and talking to them about, you know, this is voting, this is what an election is, this is why it's important, that's good and key and important to do. But kids will learn just as much, or will learn how important it is, just as much from watching you do it, from coming along with you and seeing that you are taking the time out of your day, you're going and you're waiting in line with everyone else, and you're doing this thing because it's important. And, you know, like, kids learn in different ways, obviously, but I think it can have much more impact to bring that kid with you and bring them into the act of democracy. It's also just maybe kind of like a fun little field trip.
Yes.
Right. And there is, you know, I think for a kid, from a kid's perspective, there's a lot of, you know, theatrics and, you know, there's props and there's all this, you know, going to the polls, you know, everyone, you get your car, your ballot, and you get your pen, and you get a folder to cover up your ballot. And then you go to a special little booth where you do it in secret. And I think just seeing that, it can be exciting for a kid, you know, and can, if you can get a kid who can't wait until, you know, they're 18 so they can vote,
right,
mission accomplished.
Right.
Right.
I think one of the things that I experienced through the civil rights movement was people came up from the South, out across the country, having meetings at churches, even though, because it was a good location, but the training that they offered for being involved in things where they for attempting to vote or practicing vote led to people being shoved, pushed down, that there was a workshop on how to fall, how to keep your arms locked across the line. And that really helped me feel like, well, I want to be involved in doing something like this. And I asked if I could go, and they said, well, you have to be 16. Well, then I asked somebody else. I had gotten a Brownie camera that year. And so I said, well, if I can't be in the march, can I take a picture? Well, I was with groups who went to a bowling alley, who went to a fancy restaurant. And I had my camera, and I'm telling you, it had an effect, because people looking and seeing, not only is a picture being taken, but a child is taking a picture. And so I encourage people, you know, you have to look at today also another appreciation of democracy in Canada, U.S., that right now there aren't people with machine guns outside the polling place having them, you know, keeping an eye on who's voting. That people, you don't have to make a thumbprint in blood, as is done in some places, to show that you have voted and don't have another chance. So it's a really good opportunity to have children understand the significance of a democratic election.
Well, and yeah, and that it's, I mean, for anyone, it's very easy to take for granted the world that you're born into, the world that you grew up in. You know, it doesn't, you know, it's like a kid today, the idea of growing up without a tablet is hard to imagine. People born shortly after me growing up in a world without the internet is hard to imagine. For me, growing up in a world without like cable TV and video games is hard to imagine, right? Because that's just been my experience. But I think when it comes to democracy and voting, I mean, we can look with the benefit of hindsight and global media, we can look other places in the world and see that democracy, you know, is not permanent and isn't a given, and needs to be maintained and needs to be participated in and needs to be fought for in some cases. And so, reminding, you know, the youth who are further and further away from a time in the past where democracy is at risk, but might be getting closer and closer to a future or present time when democracy is at risk, reminding them and, well, telling them, instructing them, teaching them that democracy is not a given is key, for sure.
Do you want to dance?
Or do you want to run?
We all don't have to agree,
but we can still have fun.
Make a choice and raise your hand. Make a choice and shout it out. Make a choice and raise your hand. Take your vote and count.
We have been talking, but we also know what a lot of people like to hear on the radio is music. So over the hour, with our breaks and so forth, we are going to have songs that help you think about issues that you're passionate about, to hear your vision for Canada, songs that project some part of an image that you might identify with or just makes you feel good. I encourage you to think about when you're sleeping, not think about the parking problems or et cetera that's associated with voting, but to think about really what is the Canadian dream? How does that resonate with me? How does my dream connected with others of different ages, colors, religions? What does my ideal Canada, or as people sing or play music, how are they reflecting parts of an ideal Canada? And then a question for you to just ponder. We've talked a lot about knowing about our issues, knowing our history, but I want you to think about what ways, how would you like the schools, the public and commercial media, have them think about the ways that those things influence our future and ways that they might intentionally write songs or write plays and show them in the many opportunities. There's so many festivals. get out and engage in creating the kind of Canada that you want, not just looking to see a movie that helps you to escape, but to really look at, from your perspective, what opportunities you have.
Sail on, sail on. We'll be making love again. We'll be going down so deep, the river's gonna weep and the mountain's gonna shout amen. It's coming like the tidal flood beneath the lunar sway, imperial, mysterious, and amorous ray. Democracy is coming to the USA.
Speaking of music, there are some people who write things that are important, but then they set them in a file cabinet. Know anybody like that? Jesse is going to explain how a person who might have written a song, recorded a song, one of the ways that you can have it considered for airplay on our CGSF.ca.
Sure. The best way is to get in touch with our music director, Connor, and that's cjsf_music@sfu.ca, cjsf_music@sfu.ca. There's also on our website, cjsf.ca, there is a music submission form, and you can get there by going to cjsf.ca, and then at the top there's a bar with a bunch of topics. If you hover over the music one, and well, if you click on the one that says music, it'll bring you to the music submission page that has a whole bunch of different ways to submit, both to CJSF itself and to Earshot, which is a national distribution platform. So you can get in touch with Connor if you have any trouble with that as well. Once again, cjsf_music@sfu.ca.
And I can say as a host that I frequently am searching through those sources for music to play, music by every age group, every music type, music that sometimes goes with the topic of what I'm talking about. If it's democracy, I might be looking a lot for democracy songs. Women's History Month, I'm looking for stories, songs, activities by women. Another great thing about our radio station, Jesse and our and other hosts get invited to a lot of things, the festivals, movies, plays, neighborhood things. So I would encourage you to listen to our radio stations because each host has different types of community events that they promote. And don't, I mean, when I say promote, not promoting to be paid for, but promote as something that might be good for you to do in the community or in within the country somewhere. So I am Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, thanking you for taking time to listen to Suluau, S-U-L-U-A-U, where my guest and I speak up so that you can listen up and act upon what you've heard. And when people ask me what time it is, what do I say, Jesse?
You say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love. Love time, poem time. Time for poems, poets and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time. Times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem.
Alt Election 2025 is a national election series airing on campus and community radio stations across Canada, bringing you diverse voices, in-depth conversations, and perspectives that are often unheard. The initiative is supported by the Covering Canada Elections 2025 Fund. Tune in live on April 28th for our election night coverage and visit altelxn.ca for more information.
Do you know what your local wetland has done for you lately? Wetlands function like nature's kidneys, mitigating the impacts of floods and droughts, protecting our communities, and supporting food production. Despite representing 6% of the Earth's surface, wetlands store 33% of the planet's carbon. If you value life, thank a wetland. Learn about wetlands at work with Ducks Unlimited Canada at ducks.ca/wetlands.
My name is Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of the community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.